On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I will talk even more about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving joining the Brooklyn Nets. We'll say goodbye to players like D'Angelo Russell, Jared Dudley, Damari Carroll, and more. And we'll welcome some more under-the-radar faces like Garrett Temple, DeAndre Jordan, and Wilson Chandler. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back with another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Back in your ears, it was not a dream. Kevin Durant did really sign with the Brooklyn Nets. I was euphorious last podcast. Now I'm kind of more grounded in reality, thinking through from a basketball fit, how everything's going to work out, really what's the Nets' place in the league, both next year and then moving beyond. And joining me, as always, to discuss everything on your Brooklyn Nets daily, it's my man, Marcus Barahal. Marcus, what's going on?
What's up, Josh? Good to be back. Still a little bit in shock about KD, but it started to sink in. It feels real now. Jay Williams did a podcast with Zach Lowe, so that's how you know, it's official.
If Jay does the podcast and really breaks it down, it's all good signs. I don't know. I feel like he didn't really say that much in that one.
Yeah, it was a lot of like things that I either knew or just kind of assumed, like talking about how him and Kyrie are friends, how KD liked what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson, those guys did, likes the Nets young guys. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what I expected also.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I like when basically anyone from the NBA Twitter sphere does a podcast with like former players, current players, anyone who's really connected. But sometimes you do just get, and especially when it comes to coaches, you just get them saying a lot of like jargon and it's really not going in depth at all. And like, they're just afraid to say anything meaningful. So it can backfire, but still very good get for our boy, Zach Lowe. And it's all, I don't know. I find Jay Williams pretty insightful usually. So especially from his appearances on the BS podcast. I was expecting more. He let me down a little bit.
Yeah, I saw him on the street once near Times Square. I didn't say anything, but maybe if I had known that this podcast was going to be, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was fine, but I could have told him, like, hey, maybe juice it up. Give us something to talk about on Locked On Nets, Jay Will.
I know. He really needs to. Thank you for everyone, by the way, for downloading the podcast, subscribing, rating, reviewing. We bumped up to number 123, I think, on the iTunes sports charts. Very exciting stuff. I know, Marcus, me and you both screenshotted it and put it up on our Instagram story. So that's how you know that we're really pumped up.
Yeah, got some nice messages from people. Our boy David Locke shouted us out in our little Locked On podcast family email. So that was nice. And we also appeared on his podcast. So check that out if you haven't already. I think it was on Locked On NBA.
Yes, do check that out. Always great connecting with David. And this is a man that does not stop working. Even when he's on vacation in Japan, he is go, 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 filling in for our other boy, Josh Lloyd, a.k.a. Good Josh, from what I've heard from people on the streets.
Australian Josh.
Australian Josh, which Australian is better than American. So I think definitely makes a lot of sense. The Nets have been very busy, obviously. KD announced that he was going to sign here. The mechanics of the D'Angelo Russell parting. We thought he was going to get renounced. Instead, he gets signed and traded to the Warriors. Marcus, I feel like, especially with the Warriors saying that they're going to trade D'Lo again and reroute him at some point, I feel like the Nets kind of did D'Lo a little bit dirty.
Yeah, it's they both helped him out because they did sign him to that max before trading him, I guess. So he did get paid. He got a 4-year, $117 million contract. But yeah, it doesn't feel like his permanent home is going to be in Golden State. I think it'd be really cool if it was, and like he could be playing like in the finals possibly at some point soon, which would be really cool. But yeah, the fact that it seems like, I saw Mark Stein was talking on the Dan Patrick show about how Golden State is going to probably look to pivot from D'Lo. But I think that they're not actually eligible to trade him until December 15th because they acquired him in a trade. So I don't know. Does he like play out these couple months like anticipating being traded like in February, or Maybe, like, does he have a chance to work his way in with them? I don't know what the deal is there.
I don't know. Maybe he'll just, like, try to suck up to Steph and Draymond and those guys to get on their good side. The trade I think that would be most beneficial for both teams. What do you think about this? D'Lo going to Orlando for Vucevic and Jonathan Isaac.
Interesting. I mean, the Magic obviously need a point guard. I don't know how much help the Warriors need at center. They did just re-sign Kevon Looney, and I think I saw that they got Willie Cauley-Stein like right before we started recording this
Willie
pod.
Trill?
So, yeah, Bill Trill headed to the Bay. So I don't think that they need much front court help, but a guy like Isaac would be really interesting with them just because he is kind of like a raw guy when he's coming into the league. I really liked him out of Florida State. His jumper got a lot better his second year. Obviously, it was hard for it not to because he didn't really play much his first year, but I thought he improved a lot last season, and I'm kind of looking forward to his third year coming up. So I think he would be interesting if they were able to get him or like a guy of that caliber, maybe like a couple of younger guys who they could take shots on because they're obviously really strapped for cash now, cap space wise.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like, listen, I wish the best for D'Lo. I think he had a really good season for the Nets. Do I think it was sustainable necessarily or did he have room to improve on that? I'm not sure about that. I think Kyrie Irving is definitely an upgrade, whichever way you slice it, besides some of the character concerns there. So I wish D'Lo the best, but I think from a basketball standpoint, it makes a lot of sense for the Nets. And he did make them look really good last year. And probably a big reason why Kyrie and KD were attracted to the Nets is because they already were a team that was able to make the playoffs. Obviously now no D'Lo, but still the surrounding shell of that core. When you look at a Spencer Dinwiddie, Karis, Joe Harris, Jared Allen, just name a few, are still there, which is nice. It's nice. But Marcus, anything else that you've come across throughout the wire on KD that interesting tidbits that you want to note?
Just kind of like there was a New York Post article talking about how him deciding, I guess, between the Knicks and the Nets wasn't as easy as maybe it seemed in the end, but because I know in that Low Post podcast, Jay Williams talked about how the Knicks probably weren't even going to get a meeting. And then like there was that whole story about how they weren't going to offer him the max. But then it was like misinterpreted that, oh, they actually might have. They just knew that they weren't going to get a meeting. And it's that whole thing of like where you know that someone's not into you. So you're just like, oh, I never had interest in the first place. I don't know if you can relate to that, Josh. But
yeah, it's like when the guy approaches the girl and she rejects him, he's like, well, I didn't like you anyway. You're ugly.
Yeah, exactly. So there's probably some of that from the Knicks, but yeah, just the fact that the Knicks, I think, could have gotten him maybe if a couple things went a couple different ways, like maybe if the Porzingis trade had either not happened or gotten a different return, or obviously if the lottery balls had fallen in their favor and they'd gotten Zion, if KD hadn't gotten hurt. There's like a lot of sliding doors, I guess, of what could have happened. But in the end, he's a Net, and we are very excited about it, I think.
Yeah, and the Knicks can have fun with Taj Gibson and Bobby Portis while we are enjoying KD, Kyrie, and all of the other good pieces that the Nets have in what will be a very fun ride this season. I hope that was a fun segment one. We're going to take a quick break. You'll hear from our sponsor, and then we will talk about which departing Net we're going to miss the most next season. So we were talking about this before the show, and Marcus, people love it when we get inside baseball, behind the scenes. But low-key, even though the Nets' core kind of supporting key guys has largely remained the same and sort of the feel-good stories that people talk about in Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, just to name a few, there low-key has been a lot of turnover. Ed Davis signed with the Jazz, which you predicted on David Locke's podcast. So nice one there. Damari Carroll to the Spurs. Jared Dudley, unfortunately, was lured by the promise of Hollywood by LeBron and AD. And then obviously in the trade, D'Lo, along with Travion Graham and Shabazz Napier, are going to the Warriors, I believe. Were all three going to the Warriors?
The Graham and Napier, Minnesota, I think, immediately were sent to Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay. So they were sent to Minnesota. So six guys on this Nets team. And basically, all these guys played last year and all had their own moments. Let's take out D'Angelo Russell because he's the all-star. But which of those remaining five are you going to miss the most?
Listen, I love all of these guys. I don't think it's any contest, though. Jared Dudley is is going to be deeply missed, especially on this podcast. You know, I think he was kind of a dream guest for you and I, maybe down the road at some point. That could still happen. Who knows? We had Trevor Booker on, a former player, so maybe Dudley one day ends up recording something with us. That would be great, but I'm definitely going to miss him. You know, his attitude, his energy on the bench. There was that gif going around again where it was like the leg dance. I don't know what to call that. The like celebration on the bench with like him,
the Pinson
Rondé. Yeah. I guess the Theo Pinson, I'll call it. So definitely going to miss Dudley. He's already changed his like Twitter icon to a poor Photoshop of him next to Anthony Davis and LeBron James, the new big three in Los Angeles. You could see like Dudley's neck sticking over the jersey. So again, he's not great at Photoshop, but he is good at being a great teammate, basketball IQ, the little things. So going to miss all of that. Obviously, his intensity in the playoffs against Ben Simmons was a moment to remember. So happy for him, but also going to miss him.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's like he's the culture whisperer, and like he did his job. You know, he was an angel sent from above. He was a big part of the reason why the Nets had such a good culture, and now his work here is done, and he can leave for his next big project, which is the Lakers and their mess.
By the way, it's just quickly similar to his time with Milwaukee with Giannis, like where he kind of helped guide them like from the bottom up, and then once his time was done, he moved on.
Yeah, started from the bottom, and he doesn't waste any energy. Once he gets the job done, he's gone. And, you know, I think at least we can take some solace as Nets fans in that the only reason that LeBron even knew that Jared Dudley was still in the league was when that early season game where he was just going, I think he scored like 14 points. He was doing his classic move where he fakes the dribble handoff and then just like in slow motion takes it to the rim for the scoop layup. And I think LeBron got so frustrated that Dudley was killing him in that game, that he's like, all right, we have to sign this guy. But $4 million for Jared Dudley, I mean, he secured the bag.
2.6, I think.
Okay, I saw it wrong. Someone reported that incorrectly. For me, let's see. I'm really going to miss Ed Davis a lot. You know, he was someone that in his 1 year here, I think also had a profound effect on the culture, being a mentor for Jared Allen. And just like, I'll always miss his awkward finishes in the lane, which always went in. His excellent rebounding, his screening. He was like, especially after 2 years ago where the backup center was basically Quincy Acey, and he was just abysmal. It was so nice to have someone to come in there that was serviceable. And then when Jared Allen would get into significant foul trouble, Ed Davis could really just come in and play and have a huge game and really be as good as Jared Allen in some cases. Obviously, we're going to talk about DeAndre Jordan and break down what his signing means. So the Nets are still going to have another quality center at play. But I am really going to miss Ed Davis.
Yeah, and I think his ankle injury in that Philly series like helped to turn it in some ways. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think Philly being better also helped to turn it. But Davis did a nice job on Embiid. And I think, like you said, he brought tenacity, brought toughness. And Utah's done a lot of really nice things this offseason. They got Mike Conley. They signed Bojan Bogdanovic, another former Net. Mm-hmm. They got Ed Davis, like we just said. So I kind of like what they've done. Not to hype up David Locke again too much, if he's listening. I'm not trying to puff you up, David, but I think the Jazz made some nice moves this offseason.
Yeah, no, I think they did also. And I'm also going to miss Damari Carroll because even though I think he started off very slowly last season, he was able to pick it up significantly. He had a really nice game one of the playoffs, then just couldn't hit anything. But in his 2 years for the Nets, he was someone that came in right away and was a really solid player for them. And obviously, he was a huge boon to the young guys because he knew Kenny Atkinson's system so well. And especially for those younger guys who were a bit more unheralded, he was a great test case to say, this is a guy who was a first-round pick, but super late first-round pick, bounced around a couple teams, Memphis being one of them, I think Utah as well, before he finally landed with the Hawks, got an opportunity, and then just like really took advantage of it to become a quintessential 3-and-D role player and was able to make a lot of money and have a long career in this league. So especially when your guys like Rhodey Kurucs, I'm trying to think who else would really fit that archetype, like even Torian Prince, like those are all, I feel like Damari Carroll is a role model to a lot of guys in this league who are a bit more unheralded. So it was really good to have him on the team, but sad to see him go. And I think just due to his inconsistency, I think a guy like Torian Prince can fulfill his role even more this coming season.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that once Carroll came back from his injury, I think it was in January, he was like a lot more consistent after that. And there was a real stretch where once Dinwiddie went down, he was like kind of their second best player for, or at least second most consistent player for a long while, like behind D'Lo, with LeVert being down as well. So definitely going to miss him, his little like rip through move on the drives that somehow always got him free throws. I hope he managed to teach that to at least some of the Nets before he left, because that was, that's like a gold mine right there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was I can't believe it was still getting called by the end, but somehow it was. And yeah, he had a really good season his first year at the Nets. Shot 37% on three on over five attempts a game, as a really nice stabilizing force for them when the team was pretty bad. But Marcus, who are you going to miss the least? Some Trajan Graham, or someone that I actually forgot to mention, Alan Crabb?
That's funny. You did not prep me for that question, and it just really caught me off guard. Yeah, thank you. Oh, man. I actually kind of liked Graham and Napier and Alan Crabb also. I think I'm going to say Napier I'm going to miss the least, just because he kind of forced up a lot of shots, and he had that nice run for like a couple games, I think, at the end of January. I want to say it was against the Hornets. He had like a nice game, but beyond that, he just kind of knew that he wasn't getting a lot of time, and so he like tried to like almost summer league it, where you're just trying to put up stats in those couple minutes you're out there. I thought Graham like at least played good on defense and tried on offense, and in terms of Crabb, he was frustrating, but when he was out there, he was a good shooter. Just the injuries got to him, so I think Napier I'll miss the least. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think like Napier definitely had his fault, but at the same time, like, that's just who he is. He's a guy that did have some nice moments for the Nets, but at the same time was overexposed in his role just due to some injuries when Dinwiddie hurt his thumb, and especially when LeVert was out, they just needed people to create shots. Graham really, really frustrated me. I mean, the guy just could not hit anything in the regular season, shot under 30% from three. He was someone coming in that, you know, he shot 40% from three his last year with Charlotte. I think a lot of us thought it was a fluke just due to the lower number of attempts, and we were proven absolutely right. He was 0 of 7 on threes in the Philly series, just a complete liability on offense, especially when you get to a playoff stage basketball. So nice guy, but not going to be sad to see him go. And my answer probably would have changed if Alan Crabb was actually on the court, if I was actually watching him play, but he just wasn't. So I hope his fat pad and his knee is able to recover nicely in Atlanta.
You do not want to bruise that.
Yeah, and Alan Crabb actually is an awesome guy. Like, everything he did for his school, helping save it when it was going to shut down. Like, he's an all-around good dude. It just didn't work out for him in Brooklyn, unfortunately.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, like, best of luck to all these guys, honestly. Like, none of them are, like, low-character guys or anything like that. It's more, like, on-court stuff, I think, that we were both frustrated with.
Absolutely. Definitely wishing them all the best. Happy trails to those guys. And we're going to welcome in the Nets' two new additions, DeAndre Jordan and Wilson Chandler, and what roles we see them playing next year and beyond coming up. The Nets have made some other signings in these last couple days. Don't let Kyrie and KD take up all the attention. They signed DeAndre Jordan to complete what some people were saying was a big three. I think the two of us agree that it was it was a big three, DeAndre would probably be fifth down on that list or something like that. But they signed him to a four-year, $40 million extension. Pretty hefty payment for him. And apparently both Kyrie and KD took less than the max just so DeAndre could get that money. Marcus, imagine having friends like that.
Yeah, I think there was something similar in the Locked On Nets negotiations. I don't know if you took less for me, Josh, but it would be great to have friends like that.
I absolutely did. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so DeAndre 3000 is now a member of the Nets. I mean, this is someone that was obviously a very dynamic player at their prime, made an all-star appearance. I think that his defensive effort has definitely waned in the last couple years, whether that be he wasn't motivated playing on a bad and then a really bad Dallas and New York team, respectively. I think his effort's going to improve on the Nets. But it's an overpay because center, regardless of how good someone is the position with the highest replacement value in the league. There's a lot of good centers out there. I mean, Jared Allen is probably not even top 20 in the league, and he's still very serviceable. I think there's a lot of questions on whether DeAndre is even better than Jared Allen. His block rate really declined precipitously last season to about 3%. His athleticism is as opposed to being superhuman for a center like it once was, now it's probably just down to about slightly above average. Still can definitely be a very useful player, great rebounder, has some heft to defend in the post, still can be dynamic rolling down the rim, but just not someone you need to give $10 million a year to.
I don't know. I think that it's like in a vacuum, it's an overpay, but it's not in a vacuum because he's like, obviously we don't know how much of a factor he is, but like bringing Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving is like the biggest thing. And the fact that they took less, like you can kind of add those three guys as like money up together and say like, if you knew you were getting KD, Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan for this total amount, like would that be good? And I think most Nets fans would say yes. Like, so I think that the $10 million a year is an overpay, but when you consider that like KD and Kyrie are both taking less and the fact that they're coming possibly in part due to him also coming, I think that it's well worth it. And yeah, like you said, he didn't have much reason to play hard last season, especially once he was traded to the Knicks and they kind of made Mitchell Robinson more of their focal point. And they also had guys like Luke Kornet who were getting minutes. So I think that it's kind of tough to tell. Like, it's kind of similar to once Carmelo Anthony left the Knicks, where he could be just as good as he once was, like in his peak years, but he could also have completely fallen off, and there's almost no way to know because he hasn't really played real meaningful basketball in a full season. So I don't know what to expect from him. I think Jared Allen should still be the starter, and I think DeAndre can kind of do what Ed Davis did this past year. That's my expectation, at least.
Yeah, no, I think, first of all, I like the idea of you thinking of the way of kind of aggregating KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre's salaries like a Morris Brothers thing, and then they're like parsing it out amongst themselves. I like that. Yeah, and I think, listen, it's good because DeAndre does have a lot of playoff experience, something that, especially with Dudley and Damari Carroll leaving, really no Net has besides the series this year, and then Kyrie, and then not including KD because he's most likely not going to be playing next year. So that's good. Do you think it's realistic that he's going to be the backup to start the year? I think it's going to be like an awkward thing where Kenny Atkinson is just like talking to him and like waiting for him to volunteer, and who knows. Regardless, I mean, the minute split's going to be pretty even. I think you can expect pretty close to 24-24. And also, it's going to be good for both those guys. DeAndre's not going to wear down as much, and Jared Allen's not going to need to take as much of a banging over the course of an 82-game season because he has someone who's very capable alongside with him. And not to say that Ed Davis wasn't, but clearly Ed Davis is more of a perennial backup type guy, and DeAndre is someone who's been an all-star in this league, made an all-NBA team, and someone that has a lot more cachet to play and really mentor Jared Allen.
Yeah, I definitely think DeAndre has like a higher ceiling than Ed Davis did. But in terms of who's going to start, like I think Allen should start. I think he's better. He's younger. I think part of the reason that these guys wanted to come here was the young core that was in place. And I think that they need to be empowered. And guys like Caris LeVert need to still be involved. Jared Allen still needs to, I think, get his touches and get his run. But like you said, I don't think it's going to be a huge discrepancy minutes-wise. I think they'll probably both play 20-plus minutes a game. So in that sense, it doesn't really matter. And then in terms of who finishes the game, it'll probably be whoever's rolling game to game, and Kenny will just go with that. But yeah, I could see them giving him the title of starter, like at least initially, but I don't know. I feel like Jared Allen's kind of earned it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jared Allen, listen, for his faults, and he is a bit of a limited player, but you know, he's still extremely young. He's just turned 21, and for kind of what he is, I think he's a very good player. He's someone that came in, was drafted 22nd pick a couple years ago, and came in and basically really outperformed expectations his rookie year, being able to contribute right away. And then last year was a serviceable starting center. I don't think he like propelled the Nets to a lot of victories, but he also didn't take a lot off the table. And that's really all you can ask for when someone's that young, being thrown into a role that's very new for them.
Yeah, and I do still think that DeAndre, like I said, his ceiling is a lot higher than like the big men that the Nets had last season. But I don't know. I guess also it depends on how, like, not that preseason like matters at all in the NBA, but like how those guys all play together. And like I said, I could easily see DeAndre like returning to like his last couple years with the Clippers, like that level where he's putting up maybe like 12 points, 12 rebounds a game. But I could also see him having completely fallen off. And I think part of it is that we just don't know like where he's at. And so it's up to the coaching staff to make that determination over the offseason and have a plan going in and not just, like you said, kind of tiptoe around it and wait for him to volunteer.
Yep. No, that's a good point. I think this is something that we're going to be following really closely because it is one of the higher profile position battles, so to speak. If you will, the Nets are going to anticipate and really have to deal with this season. A depth signing that the Nets have made, he's coming home, just to a different borough this time. Wilson Chandler signs with the Nets. Chris Haynes just reported it before we recorded this podcast. Obviously, Will the Thrill spent a lot of time with the Knicks to start his career. Many years there, was shipped off to Denver as part of that Melo trade, had some really nice seasons there for them. And then really injuries has always kind of been the big question mark for him. Has really struggled to stay healthy at times. And then last year, just given that he's been in the league for a long time now, 32 years of age, his athleticism, which was once was really, really good, has declined significantly. But still a signing that I like, especially if he's able to shoot the three like he did to start the year in Philly.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty, like, it's a one-year deal, so it's not a huge risk or anything like that. And yeah, Chandler has definitely popped when he's been healthy and when he's been given time in his career. He's older now, but still, I think he has some potential left. I remember when he signed with Philly, I thought that that was like a really good signing for them, and I kind of expected him to really help bolster their starting lineup with his three-point shooting. And he did shoot 39% from three in those 36 games with the Sixers, but he kind of fell off after the trade, and he fell out of the rotation with the Clippers, partially due to injury, like you said, and partially just that they had like so many guys on that team. But I'm hopeful that the Nets have a system that, like Philly, can get him a lot of open looks. Mm-hmm. If he's playing alongside like Kyrie and Joe Harris and maybe someone else like Torian Prince, I think that there's enough shooting there where maybe he's the guy who's kind of left open by the defense and he can capitalize on that. So I think he is still a guy that can knock down open shots. Hopefully his defense is at least somewhat there if he's going to be getting minutes. I think that's probably the biggest swing factor for him, is if he can defend that 3-4 position.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I feel like at this point, offensively, he's kind of, even in his prime, he was kind of like a bad version of Rudy Gay, kind of same size, can hit a jumper, but more comfortable taking people off the dribble. Defensively, he has the size definitely to compete at 6'9", 230, good frame. His athleticism is definitely has slipped with all the injuries. So I don't think he's going to be able to guard threes very consistently. Maybe he can guard some fours though, hopefully. And he also contributed to the team having a really interesting, I'll say, tattoo. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, please Google Wilson Chandler tattoo, but it is, it's something to behold.
For sure. And, the Nets definitely need more of that kind of stuff. I feel like also, just to go back to his basketball game for a second, I feel like either him or Garrett Temple is like going to pop. And I think the other one might end up either like out of the rotation or maybe even getting traded. That's just like a, not based on anything prediction. It just feels like I can't really see both of those guys in the rotation for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, let's talk about Temple a little bit. Cause I really like that signing. He's been a guy, that's been, loved by the basketball intelligentsia for a long time. I think it almost went too overboard, but he's someone, you know, he bounced around the league for a while. He's 33 years of age, but still definitely a really solid player. His big swing skill for people that don't know is really his three-point shooting. When he's hot and shooting like 37 to 40%, he can be a huge add to a team with his solid defense. And then there were times like last year where he really struggled shooting the three, and his value is not going to be there, especially on offense, because that's really going to be his only thing that he can contribute on the offensive end. But going to be a guy that competes and plays hard defensively at kind of both wing spots. So definitely like the signing. 2 years, $10 million, fairly low risk, and could be someone that fills in for the guys we mentioned that departed, like a Damari Carroll or Travion Graham.
Yeah, and I think that between him and Chandler and Prince, like, even if not all these guys pop, which it's kind of unreasonable to expect them to, it's good to have all this depth that the Nets have brought in on the wing, which was clearly like their weak point last season. So I think just having all these options for Kenny to test out is a good thing.
Absolutely. Kenny's going to be there with a mad scientist in his laboratory. And we will be there every step of the way. But Marcus, that's going to do it for today's episode. Please subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. We want to stay on those iTunes charts. So David Locke will keep giving us a lot of kudos, make us look good in front of David and the rest of the Locked On hosts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. A lot of you are doing that already. Marcus can be found at Marcus Barahal. I am at JM Bass _. We'll be with you again later this week to any other signings the Nets make and any other moves that we're hearing. We'll be here to break that down, maybe kind of take more of a macro view of how we think the Eastern Conference is going to shake out now that free agency is well underway. And even though it's July 2nd, a lot of the pieces have already fallen into place. Philly making a ton of moves. Boston, obviously, getting Kemba Walker, slip of the tongue, and seeing how all that plays out as we gear up for another great season. And then I know I promised it before all the KD and Kyrie craziness happened, but we will we'd be able to watch some tape and break down Nick Claxton and Jalen Hands and see if those guys are potential contributors to the Nets either now or in the future. But until next time, be well.
Bye.